make sure your fellowship as we try to wrap up the doctrine of SG3 here, and then we'll get back into our text. Picking up Roman numeral 12, page 9 of our notes, we note some other areas of blessings for believers that's associated with our phase 3, in addition to the SG3 as it's referred to. A, the earth itself, in regards to turning over to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ and our association with Him as royalty, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. B, the tree of life. Revelation 2:7, 22:14. If you add near, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches, to him who overcomes, makes the salvation adjustment. All grant thee the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. In 22:14, that mentions it again. Reflect to the New Jerusalem. Blessed are all those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. And may enter by the gates into the city, which represents their eternal life niche. See, hidden manna. That's 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. That is further insight in regards to God's plan. And I will give him a white stone, a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but who receives it. And that's F. Point D, the white stone, a new name. So we'll have our special identification under a renaming process by God. E, special clothing. Three, five, he overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments. Obviously, this conducive regards to our eternal life niche. The Armanis will not be of importance anymore in the eternal state. F, honor from Christ himself before the Father, teaching verse 5, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Christ will personally acknowledge each and every individual believer before God, as well as the angelic fold. G, ultimate vindication from our detractors. Peter has dealt with that. Also Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan to say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. The exceeding evil individuals of this world and history. H, a position of honor. In Revelation 3:12-21. He overcomes, I will make him a pillar of the temple of my God. And he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my name. 21, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame, sit down with my Father on his throne. And then I will inherit a life in the new creation. Revelation 21:7. He overcomes will inherit these things, new heaven and new earth, along with the new Jerusalem. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. All right, Roman numeral 13. The great believers of history were motivated to apply Bible doctrine in their niche based on their understanding of this doctrine. The doctrine understood by Old Testament saints, Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, Hall of Famers, spiritual Hall of Famers, ranked number one, not to ever lose their position. Didn't watch the game last night. You know why I didn't watch it? Can't trust people. Sorry if you're not an OU fan. He was 11-8-10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Abraham having covenant in regards to God, taking from his seed and providing a land for his future posterity. In that respect, Abraham was never a resident, truly of the land of Canaan. He was a sojourner, living in a tent, considered an alien living in a foreign land, but he otherwise understood the doctrine of SG3 as in a foreign land, verse 9, in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Verse 10, for he's looking for the city which has foundations, who architect and builder is God. That's the New Jerusalem in its association with the eternal state in this respect. So his eyes were on SG3. It motivated him to apply appropriately in his phase 2. Moses turned down the throne of the greatest empire of his time. Egypt at that point in time in history was a universal empire, universal power, world power. And Moses was groomed to assume the top position as Pharaoh. And under his father's volition, he sacrificed that in order to line up with God's plan for his life. Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith, Moses, when he had literally become great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. All that the world empire, wealth, fame, and everything would have brought to him of glory and time. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking to the reward. SG3, his eternal reward. See also the other unnamed believers of Hebrews 11:35. Women received back their dead by resuscitation, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. B, even Jesus Christ our Savior endured for the joy or plus age set before him. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes, our attention on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy comes through recognition of the doctrine of his own resurrection and all the accoutrements accompanying glory that would be bestowed upon him otherwise. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. E, our knowledge of the doctrine of SG3 should be our own motivation to emulate their example. Again, SG3 is designed to continue to encourage the believer, to motivate them in application to serve God. Not the only motivation we have, but it is a dominant one. Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Even things legitimate that otherwise would impede our spiritual advance, and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Emulating Jesus Christ an example. F, the adjusted believer is to be preoccupied with the accumulation of SG3, something that we are to keep before us in our thinking in regards to all aspects of our life. 2 Corinthians 4:18, written out for you. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's plan is for us to live our faith too, based on faith, not on sight. And hence our faith is in the promises of God's word and his plan for believers in his plan of salvation is in its entirety. 2, and then Colossians 3, 1 through 2, verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That would be our SG3 rewards, our inheritance, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, recognizing it is secured for us and guarded by God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Rather than energy of the flesh, we are the faith rest. Pursue Bible doctrine. That we pursue God and His Word. Things in life and in themselves will be taken care of by God otherwise. Read Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the believer should never have an attitude to apply just for the sake of applying. It is always to be with zeal of knowing that God desires to honor your work and bestow upon you reward for a job well done. Alright, Roman numeral 14, SG3 or lack of it, will determine the believer's reaction to Jesus Christ at His coming. A, surpassing joy and celebration awaits those who receive full SG3, those who would be prize contenders, wreath bearers. 1 Peter 4:13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. And then 2 Jude 24, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. B, however, shame and unprecedented embarrassment awaits the believers who fail to attain to full SG3. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him, filling the Holy Spirit, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. I wonder if there will be a vigil there. It makes me think whether it will be a vigil at the Bema for resurrection saints when Christ is presented. They are assembled before Him. Those with confidence will be front and center in regards to Christ and the Bema reward ceremony. And the background will be the believers that fail. Shrinking away. So you shrinking away indicates seeking not to appear and go before Him. So, just one of those thoughts. I have them on occasion. Sometimes they're brain farts. Sometimes they're filling with the Holy Spirit. Roman 15. It is the Holy Spirit that is the pledge or earnest of our inheritance. God, the Holy Spirit, is our down payment to secure for us on our part our SG3, Ephesians 1:14. The Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance, the down payment, security, earnest money, if you will, earnest value, with a view to the redemption of God's own possessions to the praise of His glory. And then Roman numeral 16, the adjusted pastor-teacher desires those under his charge to fully appreciate and understand this doctrine. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, saints of Ephesus, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart, having been enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. And we complete the doctrine according to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord.